The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
A lot to talk about at Tharisa. The company has just done a underground blast at its mine in South Africa. There's been a lot of activity in its chrome trading world. Lots to talk about. So here we are, joined by Phoevos Pouroulis, the company's chief executive. Phoevos, hello.
Hi there.
So yeah, tell us, first of all, about this underground blast then.
Yeah, so it's a significant milestone in the journey of us transitioning from open pit miners to underground operation. So we've had a finite open pit life of mine, which fortunately we've been able to extend to 2033. But it was always envisaged that we would transition to underground operations, large-scale board and pillar mechanized mining, very safe and forward-looking in terms of technology application. And so this marks that first blast where we constructed three portals that see us access the MG2 reef horizons and MG4 reef horizons on a similar co-production product basis, where we'll produce both PGMs and chrome concentrate. It's a three-year transition from the Apollo West mine to transition to nameplate capacity, which is 255,000 tons per month. So by 2029, we'll hit that milestone. But in parallel with that, we start the development on the East mine as we start hitting that steady state level. So from 2028 into 2029. And by 2033, once we've depleted the open pit resources, we would be a fully fledged, fully underground operation with two access points from the Apollo and the Orion portals, from the West open pit currently and the East open pit. But I think it's important to note that the East is the main productive unit of our operations. It accounts for 75% of our feed requirements, the run of mine material, and that will continue operating while we develop the West pit mine. So it really is the natural progression for us. But most importantly, the benefits are that we unlock 60 years life of mine. So we always talk about these multi-generational assets. So our planning and our thinking is long term, and we consider the infrastructure, the capital, the time it takes to withstand the longevity of the resource and the accessibility of these continuous tabular ore bodies. Secondly, the ore dilution that we suffer in the open pit and most open pit mines, the biggest challenge is dilution, is minimized in the underground operations because we're on reef development as well as on reef mining. So no generation of waste and just clean mining. So impact to consistency, positive impact, and a positive impact in terms of feed grade into the processing plants. The other structural benefit is that once we achieve steady states at both the West and the East portal development, we will be producing in excess of 6.2 million tons of run of mine. Our current nameplate capacity is 5.6 million tons. So we've already started with the design work for increasing our processing capacity, even though it's longer dated. And by 2030, we'll need to make that investment decision to accommodate that additional throughput and output from the underground mine. So that will see our production increasing from, let's call it, current levels of 1.6 million tons chrome concentrate and 160,000 ounces of PGMs to 2 million tons of chrome concentrate and 160,000 ounces of PGMs. I think importantly, we believe that's sustainable for 60 years beyond. And that really is, we believe, the optimal operations and performance of the Tharisa mine.
An amazing step change for the company, really, then, and securing the long-term future there. You talked about the production numbers and also in terms of the ounces. And all this is taking place against a strengthening backdrop for PGM. And also, we can talk about chrome a little bit too, Phoevos. So let's talk about PGMs first.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think coming out of PGM Day in Johannesburg, it's pleasing to note that there's general consensus that supply side is constrained and supply is declining, primary supply from South Africa, and that there are very few new projects coming online. So we've heard the Ivanplats has commenced production, and the only other project in the pipeline is the Alkara project in Zimbabwe. So certainly not enough new production to replace the depletion of ounces. So with that as the backdrop and increasing deficits compared to demand, which has had a green shoot with the rollback of emission standards in Europe and certainly consumer behavior changes in North America, we're starting to see belief and conviction in the fact that PGMs and demand for PGMs will be around for much longer than originally anticipated or forecast, and that new applications are driving alternate uses and investor demand for platinum group metals. So we always talk about platinum and palladium, but we shouldn't forget the minor metals, the rhodium, the ruthenium, and the iridium, which are all very tight markets and are byproducts of South African and Zimbabwean PGM production. So without investment in the primary platinum and palladium, you don't get natural access to these commodities. And the uses are varied, but extremely unique in terms of their application. So ruthenium, as an example, has been a beneficiary of the AI revolution and data center investments because of storage, data storage. It's used in hard disk storage, and we've seen prices appreciate significantly. Iridium, certainly with platinum, are beneficiaries of the hydrogen economy, and we're starting to see real-world application of fuel cells as well as hydrogen electrolysis from water. And so we're starting to see the profiles maturing and more certainty around those uses and applications. And rhodium, being unique and having very specialist properties, is utilized in all auto catalytic converters, whether it's diesel or gasoline. And that is a very tightly supplied market. 85% comes out of South Africa primarily, and the balance is serviced mainly through recycling and some very low byproduct credits in other jurisdictions. So a very interesting complex. And when we look at the platinum group metals, we look at all six of them because they each have a unique role to play in different industries and particularly in different chemistries.
So before we move on to chrome, Phoebus, just tell us a little bit about what Platinum Day actually is and what role you guys play in it, because I believe you're quite central figures.
Yeah, so as one of the producers in South Africa and up and coming producers in Zimbabwe, we have a strong growth trajectory. So we're participants in the platform, but particularly around our chrome as a byproduct for the UG2 miners. In our case, it's a co-product, and the importance of chrome and the fundamentals of that certainly are becoming a feature as the, let's call it, the seventh byproduct in the PGM mix. So certainly very topical in this PGM day, and it's moved from the Platinum Day to the Platinum Group Metals Day for the reasons we discussed earlier. So basically, it's an opportunity for the value chain from the primary users to analysts, bankers, fabricators of autocats, as well as industry investors, get together and debate and discuss in a platform that allows general an open discussion around market fundamentals, demand, supply, and general consensus. And as I mentioned, it's pleasing to note that there's an alignment of views in terms of the outlook, which is very positive.
So we've mentioned chrome several times already. Let's talk about that now. Perhaps we could kick off by a quick explanation from you, Phoebus, about the recent financing facilities that you've put in place for your chrome trading. This is more than a bit of housekeeping, isn't it?
It is indeed. So structurally, it gives us flexibility in terms of the ability to transact and trade not only our own production, but third-party material. And historically, we've always had trade finance facilities, but they were mainly restricted to financing our own flows of material. As existing shareholders would know, we are fully integrated in terms of logistics and marketing and sales, and we're one of the top four suppliers into the Asian stainless steel complex. So we are a brand name and a very well-known, credible supplier. So it comes naturally that we, through this platform, are able to access additional material, third-party material, and these financing facilities of $45 million enable us and enable the team to transact across the chrome market. But not only, it's not limited purely to chrome; it's other bulk commodities as well that feed into that stainless steel and steel complex. So really, an enabling tool for our very well-established marketing channel to access supply and end-user demand.
So we've touched on it a little bit, but tell us something more about the outlook for chrome at the moment as you see it.
So chrome has really been one of those unloved commodities in the sense that it's not as sexy as gold or copper in this environment, but it has been an outperformer when we look at global demand. Typically growing on a 5% CAGR over the last 20 years. And South Africa being a supplier of 85% of the chrome units that's required for China and Indonesia stainless steel manufacturing complexes really is a key role player. So if you look at the growth in ore supply and concentrate supply out of South Africa, it has really been quite remarkable, and it's the only jurisdiction that has the ore bodies that are of significant scale and tabular in nature that can facilitate that growth in demand. So underpinned by stainless steel and demand and application for stainless steels, we have a very strong conviction around those fundamentals, because it's not only an Asia-centric growth story. We see Europe, we see North America, South America growing in terms of consumption. And interesting enough, India mandating stainless steel growth, it has the lowest per capita consumption of stainless steel. We always call it a late cycle commodity, and it talks to urbanization, industrialization of economies. And so we see the uses and applications moving away from the traditional nickel-based or austenitic stainless steels to the high chrome content or ferritic stainless steels, which are more your utility-style steels that are used in infrastructure, buildings, bridges, and airport-type constructions. And the fact that chrome is corrosive resistance is really the property that structural engineers are chasing. So we've seen big penetration in rebar, particularly with large capital projects on the coastal fronts, as well as galvanized steel. So market share and new applications being accessed by high chrome content stainless steel, and that chrome comes from South Africa. So we are net beneficiaries of that. And we wouldn't be surprised to see chrome going into a deficit position with the requirements at a sort of very muted 3.5% growth rate going into the future. If you look at the stainless steel complex over 60 million tons, if it grows at 3.5% annually, you need an additional million tons of chrome ore annually to fulfill that requirement. So a very unique space, and it really is a SA-centric story in terms of supply side.
And in terms of demand, you mentioned Asia there, the facilities which we referred to a moment ago, some of the people behind them, behind those facilities, very focused on Asia.
Absolutely. So HSBC have been one of our longest banking relationships out of Hong Kong, and certainly this facility through them expedites our relationships, not only with them, but also with the end users and unlocks possibilities and potential there.
So, Phoebus, we're drawing to the end of the interview, but perhaps before we close it out, you could quickly mention, remind us what's happening in Zimbabwe, because you did refer to it in passing a moment ago.
Correct. Yeah. So it is a tier one flagship project. It's under construction as we speak, progressing extremely well. One of the cleanest and neatest sites that I've personally have been to. The team on the ground are exceptionally skilled and talented and professional. We're in the final throes of concluding our investment framework agreement or fiscal stability agreement with the Zimbabwean government. The Republic of Zimbabwe are a shareholder at 15% in the project. So complete alignment in terms of wanting a success story in terms of employment, social and economic positive impact. In terms of the funding to date, Tharisa has committed $200 million of our own cash to the project, and we continue to fund on a package-by-package basis. So there is activity on-site, infrastructure, power and water being brought to site, and the dam facilities being upgraded to accommodate our water requirements going forward. In terms of financing, we are well advanced in terms of the balance of the funding requirements, and we are hopefully going to be announcing soon that that will be concluded. It will be conditional on us concluding the fiscal agreements with the government, but I think that has been well reported on previously. So exciting time to be building a project, and as I said earlier, it's one of the only near-term new projects to bring production within the next 18 months to the market, and certainly very well received from all the engagements we've had, and we've had multiple inbound interest for the project from participants that weren't really active a year ago. When we consider how PGM prices have moved, the focus on critical minerals and strategic supply certainly has woken up a number of participants or end users to looking at potential supply, new supply channels and routes.
Exciting stuff. So we opened this conversation, Phoebus, with talk about securing the long-term future for Tharisa. What about the short term then? What's the news flow going to be like over the next few months? And presumably there's going to be news about the underground development.
Absolutely. So we'll keep the market appraised as we develop. We must probably got 3 months of infrastructure development before we access the reef horizons, and then we'll be on reef development, and that reef will process in our processing plant. So there will be regular news flow coming through from the underground development as we access the Borden Pillar mining. Further to that, announcements around the funding conclusion for Karo, as well as the conclusion of the fiscal agreements. And then again, very similar to the underground, we'll keep the market abreast of the development progress, construction progress. We have commissioned our mining contractor on site, EPSA. They have started with pre-stripping and mobilization. So that's all progressing very well. So really a lot of activity in the two geological areas that we operate, the Bushveld Complex and the Great Dyke in Zimbabwe. So very exciting times, great trajectory in terms of momentum and support from our stakeholders, which I think is key and critical for any successful growth.
Phoebus Pouroulis, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Alistair. Take care.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.